Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Dr. Kate broadcasting live. It's a cool 75 degrees in the desert here, although we expect 100 degrees in a couple of days. Today was a nice day, a little overcast. We have an interesting evening this evening. Good evening, everyone in the chat. It's designed to be sort of, a potpourri. Anyone want to call in to talk about certain things? Raise an issue, report on some things. I'm going to start out the show by reporting on a few things going on, as said in the show description. You know, we've got the rhinos throwing the election to Obama. We've got all other kinds of things happening. Yes, sort of a dry heat, but the humidity is actually 28%, which is unbearable for us in the desert. So, thanks, Bob. Not a dry heat now. Anyway, excuse me, just responding to the chat room. So we've got a lot going on. I'm going to play another round of music or two and wait for some people to call if you'd like to say anything or raise topics. And I will be back in just a few minutes. As you know, this is about America.
bought a pack of cigarettes, and this is magnified, and walked off to look for America. Kathy, I said as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, this shipping seems like a dream to me now. Took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said, be careful, his bow tie is real.
Welcome back, everyone. Very good. Had to quickly jump to the other screen to see where I was. Well, I see no one's jumping in to talk on the open mic night. So, you know, if you don't step in, then you're stuck with me. So here we go. Many of you have, let me start out by saying good evening. And I want to talk tonight and sort of gear our potpourri around an introduction to the issue and the word and the concept of discernment, D-I-S-C-E-R-N, discern and discernment. Because I'm sure many of you over your emails have gotten, for example, just this week, all the various executive orders that Obama has passed and have seen various versions of what that means, that whether we're just completely given up to international law or what. We've also, and I was a victim of, you know, an exaggerated event, which is the I think between 60,000 and 100,000 Russian troops are going to be in the United States, or in the United States already in May, and going to be in various different places doing joint exercises with U.S. forces. And, you know, this is, they're going to get to go to a baseball game and do things like that, but the exaggerations have been that this is the takeover and this is the international force that's coming in. And, you know, with this administration, it's not hard to believe that that is what is happening. But that things get exaggerated, it means that there's a lot of deception going on right now. And so I'm going to start out by talking about a few things in terms of deception and leading up to a discussion next week about with other people who are more familiar with the subject than I am about discernment. So let me read from just a piece entitled, let me start out with this. Just to set out discernment, the gift of discernment. And I'll find your author for you. Hang on, let me just get this in the chat room for your use. Be right there. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Bob. And glad everyone's here. Well, Nancy's gone. Oh, well. I guess I blew some people off already. Okay, so we'll start. Don't worry. You can always listen to the archive. Okay, the gift of discernment. In the last part of the article, well, this starts really from a biblical perspective as to what discernment is. And, of course, from a biblical perspective, it's good versus evil, Satan versus Christ versus our Father Almighty. And this is an important piece to as we begin to take a look at this issue of discernment and how we see and filter all the results that are coming across our emails so we don't get wiped out and distracted and so forth and keep focused on the main thing. So for reflection, anyone with the gift of discernment will know error and evil when confronted with it. To do something about it takes courage. You will become a whistleblower against Satan, and, well, he's probably not going to like that. Whistleblowers are never very popular with the folks that did the wrong to begin with. There will be temptations to step back, perhaps to lay low and just, quote, let sleeping dogs lie, unquote. Trouble with that is that the dog is not sleeping, and unless evil is halted when it starts, it has a way of spreading. God knows that, and so he passed out this particular spiritual gift of discernment. Discernment is a pivotal ability. It is a course changer. Things are going right along, lickety-split, of course, in the wrong direction, and then comes the guy with the gift of discernment with a word of wisdom. It doesn't feel right. Something's wrong here. It smells bad. It's wrong because whatever. And the train stops dead in the track. There is a certain authority that comes with this gift that makes the bearer of the gift better able than most to stop the errant train. Then others can step in and reevaluate, back up, and go a better way. This should all be done in a spirit of love and community. And when it happens this way, everyone present will feel it. The warmth of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden everything feels right. It's a moment to pause and offer praise. I know many of you have experienced those events. It's the game changer rather than the course changer. I know that many of you have had the opportunity to be whistleblowers. Some have acted on it, some have not. And what it is really having the courage to see through what's going on. Now, whatever your perspective is on how you discern things from the purpose of this show, it's really about the gifts that God has offered us to be able to discern things and the amount of scripture that talks about references, over 600 references in the Bible where discernment between good and evil or evil itself is key. It's a key issue when someone is able to see that. And of course, now in what many believe are quote-unquote the end times, or basically within the events of the specifically the chapter of Revelation in the Bible, but many other references with the earlier prophets about what is going on right now. And in this time, it seems that there is a choice, that we are either of the crowd or the people who are totally deceived, either knowingly or willingly deceived, and are following, you know, for lack of a better term in terms of our world, the federal God, and don't care to disrupt that system or don't care to learn about it. And if they do care to learn about it, you know, they're evil, they're workers against it, or they don't want to, they just don't want to disrupt or do anything about that. But the other side of that is, are those who refuse, who basically call it what it is, you know, are able to discern between whether it is of God or of spirit or not. And if you have a picture of the end times or some kind of vision, at least for a Christian, it does help kind of see the signs and discern. So this probably isn't making any sense to anybody, but it is a course changer to be able to discern, and it's very necessary right now. Now, Scripture talks about right now where, in fact, deceit and deception is being thrown directly at people, is being sent to people by God for those who, you know, just will not, at least from God's perspective, will not, you know, turn and see his ways. And I, of course, don't expect to speak from God, but from the scriptural, it looks like, you know. There's a discernment going on. Those who are, or there's a, there are two different kinds of people, those who are going to speak up and call it what it is, and those who are just not for various different reasons. It's a long story, but as you know, it's since we are being sent deception, and since that is the essence of what Satan is deception and confusion, there are a lot of things going up right now that are designed specifically to blind those who will not be able to discern really the good from the evil. And I am saying a lot of those deceptions I see right now coming up in the news and in the outlook and in the constant negativity and scaremongering that seems to become a staple of our quote-unquote lamestream media and television news and magazines and newspapers and so forth. So let me see if anyone has, if everyone's gone from the chat now and I'm just alone. But it is what distinguishes the establishment Republicans, for example, and those who are going along with that, with those not necessarily with the Tea Party, as a main difference. It concerns people, no matter who they are, whether they really see what's going on here, and those that don't. And if you do see, you have a responsibility to talk about it. Okay, hang on. Buy RC Radio. Sorry about you guys, that about you guys. RC Radio. Of course, that is the famous guy who's a professor at some university back east, sociology, has a radio show, misspells Minor V. Happersett. Yeah, Bachman, I hear, is going Swiss. And No, of course, the establishment Republicans are not looking at the eligibility issue. So sorry for everyone who's not in chat, but I just had to deal with a person that we end up kicking out of the chat room for things that are said. So hi, everybody. Hi, Ghost Fighter, Bob, and Nancy. Yeah, Michelle Bachman is, let me just go here on the discernment issue, because this one is easy, and it's on eligibility. Please take a look at those references. There's some interesting stuff coming up, and I will be writing about it in the blog. But eligibility, it's really an intellectual dishonesty, but it's not, I wouldn't even honor it by calling it that. It's just basically plain deception and fools who are just refusing to see the reality of the Constitution of the United States of America. And it is just kind of unbelievable that we can still have people make mistakes like the 14th Amendment as governing, like Wong Kim Ark as governing, or the Ankeny case, or standing as governing. Or that nobody has any responsibility to deal with this. The people like RC Radio and the Fogbow and some of these other places, like I say, are they as great as being intellectually dishonest, or are they just being deceived? On one level, there's, of course, the eligibility on deception. We know what a natural-born citizen is, so do they. And we know that unless the Supreme Court takes this up, the only definition that we have to go by, which is in the Constitution and in case law, is that it's two citizen parents born in the United States. And John McCain was not eligible. And the main reason is that he was born on foreign territory, not on any property that was under the jurisdiction of the United States. So that's what it is. And I know there are a few things for military personnel, so forth and so on, that would, might mediate that, but not really. And if you consider really the record of John McCain, was he a fake Jane Fonda in Vietnam in the POW camp? This is what I'm reading about it. I'm in his state, so I think it's a kind of a problem. They just don't realize that what we're dealing here is with a very historic, perfectly reasonable constitutional way to protect our country that was put in there by our founders, or as Bill Whittle satirically refers to as, some dead old white guys, which are trying to be blamed. Our founders are trying to be blamed for every society, every problem that exists right now. So, you can see on the eligibility, there's a discernment there, okay. People who are intellectually dishonest about this just don't know. Brett Baer, Andrew Breitbart, with respect, and rest in peace. And Fox News is still in Obama's camp, and it's ridiculous. There's another level of discernment. None of the media are really different, right or left. Yeah, there are certain shows and certain people, but the mainstream media is not really. And our best news comes from the internet sources and Blog Talk Radio shows and other radio shows and newspapers and online reads. Discerning what is truth and what isn't is blinded by the media, and if you prone to believe the media or use it, then you just don't see what is going on. There's one level of discernment. And on another level of discernment is whether these actions support, you know, a socialist, Marxist takeover, turning into mob rule, you know, by quote-unquote democracy, and it going against our Constitution, basically. No matter what they throw up as reasons why natural-born citizen doesn't mean what it does, and that they give Obama a pass, is that they are either willingly or just completely believe, you know, the communist line, the socialist line. And if Occupy Wall Street and the We Are the 99% crowd, they're telling us, you know, at least all of them are in the left view, in the Marxist socialist, Islamo-communist, all of this tied to the New World Order. There's a whole nother economy that matters, not this one. This is just, you know, something to play with on the part of the big parts, but it's about guns and drugs and, you know, usually the main staples in money and power. So we can see that on another level of discernment of what this eligibility issue is a real attack on our Constitution. And then we can go even deeper there, of course, and see that, and as we know, this is a cover-up for something much larger. This goes way beyond eligibility, and a single election is not going to change this issue one bit. Oh, you're all still listening. Tell me if this is okay or if I'm rambling too much and you'd like to hear some music, okay? All right, so I started out about talking about discernment, how it can happen in a lot of different levels. On one level, what is your political viewpoint? You know, and it's not by party. That's not the question. Is how do you view certain events from that standpoint in terms of our government and Constitution? That's clearly one level that is necessary of discernment right now, because there's so many uneducated, undiscerning people out there that they think all of this stuff is cool. You know, the kids who are going to be paying for all of this mess right now think that it's cool. And that is the deception that's being sent, and where people have to discern that. Now, Occupy Bilderberg, great. Okay, now let's take this to another subject, and that is the recent news of an executive order that Obama signed that, quote-unquote, gave our seashores and gave us to international law. Well, if you look at the executive order, well, there are three levels of discernment here. Number one is executive orders and their role and their influence right now, given historically how executive orders are dealt with and what the reality, political reality is now in terms of Republicans, Democrats, you know, Obama not getting any support from anybody, and election time. That's one level of discernment. What do they mean? The second level of discernment is really from the standpoint of, again, this political view. If you look at it from a lens of how communism, for example, is faring in the United States or not, this is one of the ways that the communists have recommended is to rule by executive order and to sort of seize the day, to usurp. I mean, we have in Obama the actual physical case as well as the whole intellectual case of usurping the government and taking over our resources. And so that gives you another view, another discernment of this executive order that went out. And there's a third, and that is how it connects to maybe other things like the troops coming to the United States or some other regulation Followed up right after that regulation came out last week was a report on how a UN special rapport person had recommended that the Black Hills be returned to the native people there and in the United States. And, you know, was this ultimately the result of the what these executive orders are trying to accomplish by executive order is to essentially transfer land back to Indian tribes, or essentially in what will happen is foreign interests based on, you know, paying the United States debt off, trying to hide. So the discernment involved just in that executive order is what else is going on. So from those levels, this executive order is, first of all, at least the way I look at it, what I'm just trying to show you, that I'm trying to tease out the different tools. I think discernment is certainly a gift, but there are probably some tools we can develop for, you know, your average Joe who doesn't have all this, you know, the gift of discernment. And I'm certainly not saying that I am. Obviously, I'm trying to learn about it. And put out some guidelines. But just on the executive order first, if you look at the end of the executive order, it's basically subject to review by everybody in the government, and it's subject to appropriations. And so to the extent to which any government agency and its workforce works into does that kind of work under this executive order, it's subject to appropriation. Since Obama is not getting the appropriations that he wants, or maybe he is, which is, again, another level of discernment, whether he's getting, you know, does it have any effect? Does this executive order have any effect if he's not getting any money for it? And the practical reality of working inside a government, talk with a government worker sometime in terms of what's involved, because it's really almost impossible to see unless the other level of discernment, unless they planted their people in these agencies and that's all they are working on right now is international, which is likely. I mean, you want a job with the administration, they're in every agency, the politicals come in and, you know, kind of change the direction or focus stuff. So on this executive order, unless they're set up that way, and they might be in certain agencies and have the, you know, rank and file support for what they're doing by the civilian employees, you know, just the general service employees, is another story. Now, in terms of executive orders, we all know that they should not have any legal effect because Obama is a usurper. But as far as the history of whether they've worked, whether they've survived, whether they've been implemented, is a whole nother story. And we already knew that Obama was going to behave this way. So on one level, based on our political view, we can see that, yeah, this is the way the communists rule, is by executive order. On another level, you can say, well, maybe it's just for show that he's doing something because it's not really happening at the local level. And although, for example, EPA can put out a whole bunch of regulations and a whole bunch of other things, it's not a done deal that that they get implemented and that people are going to lay down. So it's important to look at the executive order from those three standpoints. Now, whether it's worth going after as far as a political event or activity, no. I think it's let me do one more area, of course, which is what is going on the outside of this. One was the UN rapporteur request suggestion for somebody to for the United States to give back the land, the Black Hills, to the tribes. And there's a whole another story, of course, involved in the reality of that and what tribal people think about that, because it's not all uniform. And whether that would ever happen because of the states. But this is a way to have the federal government attack the states by using the tribes, because state law does not have any effect on Indian reservations without specific express, you know, waiver of that jurisdiction. States do not have jurisdiction on Indian lands. Indian lands are all over the most valuable parts of the United States. So if pieces of land can be given back to tribes using this executive order, using the executive orders, and also the UN stuff, that would provide the opportunity to attack the states in their jurisdiction and, you know, mess it up a little bit. That's what Alinsky agitators do, is they muddy up the water there. So there would be a forever sort of fight and weakening, and the federal government withholding resources from states that don't go along with its completely giving up jurisdiction over all of the resources within the state boundaries as well, and jeopardizing state people. So this is the thing he's trying to fracture with the use of these executive orders, is our sense of government and our net of the reasonable ways we resolve these issues and historic ways we have resolved these issues. So it is absolutely an attack. It is absolutely like 100 other things that he's done, this executive order. And isn't it time, wouldn't it be time, when you see this and discern this, is to not only call it out, but to also even take a broader view, even wait and see what kind of events. Because remember, we've got this Mockingbird thing going on with the CIA. And, you know, they've got a lot of different songs playing, if you will. So you got to know some of the details and be able to discern those to be able to look at, and then know the Mockingbird stuff to be able to discern the pattern, like the chess game on the board. You know, where they're going to move this, that, how they're going to describe it, so forth and so on. Thank you. In the chat room, Bob has just posted a American Thinker article called Strange Anomalies in the Famous Situation Room Photo, which of course have to do with Obama being completely out of scale to everybody else in the room. It was photoshopped. So thanks, Bob, for that. All right, hang on a second, everyone. Good to see you. Bye, Great Gray. Okay. My apologies, everybody. Let me just get back on track here for a second. There's sometimes in the chat room we have these people who like to just harass the show, especially when I'm in open mic mode. Let me check and see if anyone has called in to want to talk. If any callers want to talk, you're welcome to just hit one, and I will put you on there if you got something you want to say. Okay. So, discernment, eligibility, we just went through that. Here we talk about this executive order and, frankly, all the other executive orders. Now we've got the Law of the Sea Treaty that's been going on for a long time. And where that has to be stopped is in the Senate, because the treaty cannot be passed by executive order. And so if Obama issues an executive order, it's not going to be a treaty. So that means we really have to work on the Senate. Now, Lugar lost his spot you know, so Lugar is going away. So that's a Republican senator. Because remember, what are we discerning here? You know, it's not just Republicans versus Democrats. It's really us versus them. It's the people versus this rogue government that has usurped everything. And they're all bemoaning the lack of the statements, statesmen, and all that kind of stuff. That's bullshit. The left-right paradigm is bullshit. And the Republican-Democrat paradigm is bullshit. Liberal-conservative is really bullshit because you've got, well, look at Romney. There's a conservative who's a liberal. Either oxymoron or just bullshit or just plain moronic. Take your choice. I'm sure there are more choices. But seeing this as the globalist versus, you know, the rest of us through their puppets in who have taken over our government makes it a lot easier not to go after every single thing that this government does. We have to go after the root of the problem, and one election is not going to do it. You know, and do I wish Ron Paul will get it? Yes, I really do. And I've got a great update on him, just some great wording of his speech in Texas that is good that I posted earlier. We've got a much bigger problem. Ron Paul's on the right track and will need a lot of protection and people who are with him on sound money, because that is the only way to bring us back from what is near certain disaster, economic disaster. And it may already be, you know, it already is economic disaster, but from being much worse, I don't know, but we have to really take the bull by the horns here. But, you know, to be able to discern that we need somebody and hundreds of people like Ron Paul working on our government, which there are people like that, but we're not elected. To be able to see that that's what we need is right now you've got people who see it and absolutely people who don't, or who are in between, complain about certain aspects of Ron Paul, you know, the isolationism or his stand on Israel, without seeing the broader perspective of really what it is. So we have the establishment Republicans essentially already pursuing Romney that we've known as the main executive, but today one of the members of the Republican Executive Committee has just asked for the resignation of Priebus, Rince Priebus, the current head executive director, for basically not getting it that Ron Paul is still in the race. And the reason is that Romney has not, even though the delegates have to vote for Romney if he won their state in the first round, Romney didn't win all the states, and he hasn't won all the states. And so, therefore, he's short a certain amount of votes that he needs. And, you know, they're really trying to steal the vote in Texas, which is everyone needs to discern that it's important to pay attention to Texas in terms of the upcoming vote, because they will try to, try to disrupt it or change the results, you know, lose ballots and so forth and so on. So let me see. Anyway, discerning that anybody who's got that message is being left out. But the Pima County person asked for his resignation because he had the chairman of the Republican National Committee, because he had basically said he would open communications with Romney and so forth, ignoring Ron Paul's victories in the states that Romney did not win. And so it is a brokered convention, folks. It is. And so there are lots of parties who want to just advance their efforts, you know, like the Constitution Party and so forth. It's And what do you think will happen? Will establishment Republicans, like, abandon the Republican Party because of Ron Paul and go vote for Obama? Would they do that out of spite? Well, people stayed home from McCain, so, and a lot of people are staying home from Romney, even though Obama is such a threat. So, you know, so anyway, that is a very big issue to understand in terms of the Republican race. Everyone has said Romney's it, presumptive, presumptive, presumptive. Nobody has raised the issue of a brokered convention, which it is. And you saw the early trial balloons that went up for brokered convention. Christie and, Rubio is always up there and so forth. So now to discern why the Republicans have just been so deadly silent on who Obama is. And then you just have to look over to why Romney and why everyone is pushing Rubio. It's if they push Rubio and the Republican, you know, quote-unquote establishment just blindly falls along with Rubio, they've just done what Obama did. And two aspects of that is, one, on a personal level, are you going to vote for that ticket of Romney and Rubio? I'm not sure that I can, even though I want Obama gone, but the Republicans will just have caved. On a second level, look at what this covers up, their complicity. It also makes it easy for the media to just move right into that, and then, you know, what will happen is basically, well, if Romney got that, then what was all this business about with Obama? Or Rubio was able to get in there. So I think that Romney loses if he chooses Rubio, and I think my own personal view is Romney loses no matter who he chooses, because it's a setup, the Bushes and Roves and so forth. So it's important to possibly, you know, support the resignation of the Republican chair, because in that convention it's going to, just like the Democrats, who's to prevent the Republican National Committee from ignoring political will, ignoring the will of the delegates, you know, and jamming somebody else in there. Ron Paul has officially made the ballot for his name to be put on the ballot at the RNC convention. So in combination with the fact that he didn't win all the states and hasn't won all the states, and that most of the delegates from the states that he didn't win are Paul's delegates, that on the first vote, number one, it's brokered. On the first vote, it's brokered. On the second vote, could be a surprise. Now, think about that in terms of Ron Paul possibly making it. What discernment tools will you have to have? Yeah, I agree. In the chat room, they are all part of the Bilderberg. Romney and, you know, Perry and Gingrich and all of these people are parts of the Bilderberg stuff. And those are who our enemies are. That's who Lugar was, you know, or a pawn for them. And he was head of, you know, foreign affairs. Now, what Republican is going to get there? We're going to get a Rhino to head that Foreign Affairs Committee in the Senate? But it's a Republican seat that's gone, and that's an issue because we've got to make sure the Republican or the person who votes with Republicans is put in there and that the vote is not split to just let the Democrat win. So that's an important thing to look at is Lugar's race and how we talk about it, write about it. But other people who are getting in who, you know, we could rejoice over the loss of the Rhino, but do we have the right person who could take the race all the way so that we win the Senate? Because winning the Senate is essential, and keeping the House is essential. And, you know, if the establishment Republicans remain, it will continue the way it is right now. If we have new people, that's a big deal. Look at Rubio and West. Both of them as examples of how they were as new people. They just went along with the crowd. And what's his name? Brown, Scott Brown from Massachusetts. So do our candidates, we've got to support people so that with the loss of the rhino, we don't get another idiot or a Democrat in. So that's still important. But discerning, again, beyond this election, you know, there's still a lot of work to do because we've got to get the establishment out of both parties. We've got to remake that Congress completely. Okay, let's take a break here just for a second. I want to pull back some more discernment stuff. But as you can see what I'm talking about, for my own personal self, there's been a lot of spiritual growth on my part, a growth in my faith, and I'm real happy about that. And you've probably seen the different writings that I'm doing. I am continuing, of course, to keep track on our Constitution and so forth, but I think my viewpoint has expanded considerably, and I believe that discernment is a major issue that we have to be able to do spiritually, politically, personally, you know, and on all levels. But the, you know, is this of God or is it of not? And in order for us to survive, there are a lot of spiritual things you need to do to be able to survive. But even to create the record of resistance to this tyranny, which we must, which is our revolutionary right and our responsibility as Americans. And we have to have that ability to discern. You know, if you don't discern, you like give up and you're still concerned. You can give up or you can get distracted or you can just look at a lot of things and just worry. And so that's what discernment will do, is to help hone in what you can do. Maybe the only thing you can do for a particular issue is on a spiritual level. And then maybe for some other issue, actually you have legs that can do the running. And maybe for some other issue, it's letters to the editor or to congressmen or a certain kind of thing or lobbying or whatever. So discernment is very important so you don't get burned out. And you also remember to be, you know you're working on the right thing. And you can contribute to creating the record of resistance. It's a way to just move forward, I think. So I'm going to play quite a, let me see, most of a long clip. No, I won't. Let me see. I'm going to take a little break right now, get some more quotes on discernment. And I'd like to play this song, which I really like. It's called What If His People Prayed Casting Crowns. It's from a verse out of the Bible, but basically, what would happen if we all just prayed and if we turned away from this stuff and we took action? Remember, that's what Gideon did. Gideon gathered thousands of people, and God said that there were too many people, and he figured out ways to cut the number down. So Gideon ended up with 300 men. You know, some lampstands and some horns, and defeated thousands. And, you know, only God can claim credit for that. Yes, the people were there. Of course, Gideon and 300 men were there. But you know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes We might have to turn there. We may have our own Gideon struggles showing up. So I'll ask you to think on this for a bit, and I'll be back in a little bit.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords? vowed to set the captive free and not let Satan have one more. What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gate? What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn from their wrong ways. And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could play, and unborn children see light of day. What if the light that we pursue came from a hunger for the true? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn from their own. His promise has been made. He'd answer loud and clear, yeah. If only we would pray.
Other things from this article on gifts of discernment. Thanks everybody for hanging around. Okay. Here's a reference from Romans 9:1, and we'll just go from here on biblical references to the gift of discernment. I am speaking the truth. I belong to Christ and I do not lie. My conscience, ruled by the Holy Spirit, who assures me that I am not lying. The gift of discernment is a special ability that God gives, which enables a person to know with assurance whether certain behavior purported to be of God is in reality divine, human, or satanic. This gift can motivate a believer to seek God's will and purpose and apply that understanding to individual and congregational situations. It provides the ability to distinguish between truth and error and to know when a person or act is of God. Here are the three gifts of discernment, or the three areas. Whether certain behavior is of God or divine, human behavior, or satanic. Most of what I suggested in the last session or the last hour on distracting the communist, that kind of political behavior is really, in my view, come to fall in the satanic realm. I think I may have told you in my blog how I had attended an Occupy Wall Street meeting to take a look at who was in there, and believe me, the feelings were not good. Whether it's human, regular human behavior, quote-unquote regular human behavior, or of human behavior, in other words, human solutions to problems that are, in fact, really much bigger than human, where other kinds of guidance is needed. And then divine, whether it is of God, whether it is divine, a divine inspiration for our Constitution. That is really what's being trashed right now, by the way, by, you know, just by the way people treat our Constitution as rules and laws and how they speak about it and how the left speaks about their vision. It's not inspired. And remember, Satan, as Red Beckman likes to say, is the great counterfeiter. So they're counterfeiting, trying to produce good, but they're actually counterfeits. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 13 and 15, it was to us that God made known his secret by means of his Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, even in the hidden depths of God's purposes. It is only a person's own spirit within him that knows all about him. In the same way, only God's Spirit knows all about God. We have not received this world's spirit. Instead, we have received the Spirit sent by God, so that we may know all that God has given us. So then, we do not speak in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, as we explain spiritual truths to those who have the Spirit. Whoever has the Spirit, however, is able to judge the value of everything, but no one is able to judge him. So internally, it's this discernment, you know, whether you are on a spiritual plane or not, this is one of the things that's offered. And notice, you know things that are of God intuitively, and you know, or of Spirit or Creator God, you know of that. You know of things that are satanic. And you know of things that are just human behavior. I think you yourself know that. The Spirit gives one person 1 Corinthians verses 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, the Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, to yet another the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. So you've got power to exercise your discernment, in different ways. Some speak God's message. Others tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. Others do other things. There are many different ways to exercise your discernment, but you have to look at the situation first in a certain way to be able to understand the totality of it in order to figure out what your path is. Okay, let me see. Let me take a little break here for a second. Oh, hi, Niji. How are you doing? Glad everybody is here. And anyway, we're doing just a little stuff on discernment. Now, I'm going to go... and reference a couple of other things. Here's just some of the questions you have, and I'll read this piece again. The power of discerning good from evil is present in all mature Christians by virtue of guidance from the Holy Spirit. All Christians should seek to discern truth, and the ability to do so is there when conscience guides the mind. The supernatural ability referred to in this spiritual gift is simply a heightened and perhaps critical sense of the same quality. With it comes a boldness to speak out, a willingness to question apparent authority, and a quality of continued evaluation that puts the believer on guard at all times. It is hard for Satan to sneak up on a person with this gift. Anyone who has this gift has to walk a fine line. They are compelled to expose heresy, false doctrine, and untruths, but they must do so tactfully or lose credibility as an overzealous heresy headhunter or simply a highly judgmental person. Care must be exercised to expose untruths with clarity and kindness. This is part of the line that we walk right now in our everyday work. And when you are compelled to call out the justice, sometimes you're in a situation where you have to do it a different way, but you do it nevertheless. Just because the traditional ways don't work doesn't mean that you shouldn't try or change the situation change the situation to the best that you can. So if you have the gift of discernment, here are some questions to ask yourself. Number one, have others in the church or your area noted that you are able to see through phoniness or manipulative behavior before it is evident to other people? Are you able to spot malevolent, manipulative behavior or phoniness? Has your sense that a person's teaching from God, Satan, or human origin later been confirmed as correct? Think of your own experience when something happened and then you might have read scripture or you might have learned something else that that reinforced your sense or your gut feeling. Can you judge between the inadequate and the acceptable, between evil and good? Do you see a serious danger when false teaching and false practices creep into the church? Are you usually aware of people who pretend or wear masks? So before I get to some scripture, there are some areas for personal growth on discernment, which is what we're starting with, and what we started with this evening was what we will continue up with next week. And thank you for going through this with me, as it has been a way for me to articulate what has been on my mind lately and what I've been sketching out here on my notepad. So areas for personal growth. Here's to read works that identify traits of evil and untruth. You've probably heard of the Screwtape Letters of C.S. Lewis. Oh, good. Hang on a second. I'm going to be bringing Terry Dodd on in a moment. I don't know how long he's been able to listen, but just one area for personal growth to understand discernment is to read works that help identify traits of evil and untruth. You know that book, The Marketing of Evil. Look at it. But a classic is C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, which exposes many of the cunning methods Satan employs to wind himself into our lives. Study the life of Martin Luther to understand how he came to know he should speak out against the abuses of the church. Learn about watchdog organizations, those dedicated to righting supposed wrongs. Become aware of their tactics as examples for potential use when you need to expose errors. In doing so, you may uncover certain groups that you will want to support and encourage. And read and meditate on Bible passages, which I'll get to after our after I welcome Terry. Become a scholar in what Scripture has to say about discerning good from evil. There's a book called Nelson's Complete Concordance, lists over 600 references to evil. Well, also, look under the equal number of references as to discernment and to truth. That's what you're after here, is the truth. And that's what needs to be worked on, you know, that core. Okay. Wow, how great. Terry Dodd, you have a live mic.
That's a dangerous thing to give me, Kate.
I know, but you only have like 15 minutes. I've had the whole hour and a half these poor folks have had to listen to me. I don't know how much of this you've listened to, you, but let me apologize for the painfulness. I've been talking about discernment. That's because introducing our topic for next week, but about all this stuff that comes over your email, you know, in terms of things that are going on and some exaggerated events, and just looking at different ways to discern. And I had been picking up on a couple of, looking at some Bible passages and also picking up on a couple of discussions of what this gift of discernment is. And that's where I want to go next week. So anyway, since it was initially an open mic and nobody decided to chime in, I warned them that they were all subject to me, but now they can be subject to you.
Well, I heard you mention CS. Hey, good evening, Kay.
Good evening.
Well, you know, talking about discernment, even though we're going to get more into it next week, I think, you know, it's a good thing to talk about right now, and because there's so many different levels of discernment, and I grew up having a pretty good perspective of the absolute truths, you know. I mean, there's so many people that try to deny those truths, and those have kind of become secondary to me. I no longer get angry about things that are obvious. It's the things that are not so easy to ignore, or the things that appear to be conservative. You know, I get tons and tons of emails. It's just like you mentioned, from all of these different groups, like Newsmax or Front Porch Politics,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, I can go down the list, Cowboy, you know.
Conservative Blade, you know. Mm-hmm.
And now I look at this stuff and recognize that it's all propaganda, every bit of it. I mean, I don't get anything from any of those mass mailing groups that isn't propaganda. It's establishment propaganda. It's supposed to be conservative. It's not. It leads you to believe that it's telling you the truth about something that it's trying to disclose to you, to present opposition against the Marxist or whatever. And it turns out that they're the worst out there of all, because they are addressing the religious and the conservative and the libertarian groups out there like they are representing them. But the truth is, they're dumbing them down. Every one of them are dumbing them down and hiding the real things, like the subjects that we talk about at Dr. Kate's View, like eligibility, for example, just one of many. You don't hear these places talking about sound money unless they're trying to talk about some new currency that's going to be backed by something, instead of giving the people proprietary ownership of it. It's all a part of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, basically.
Yes, and go ahead.
No, that's all right. I really wanted to talk about C.S. Lewis since you brought it up.
Oh, very good. Let me just throw this in there as one of the topics that we must discern, and that's the Fulford and the White Hat stuff. I mean, what do you do when you read that stuff? You know, how do you feel? How does it make you feel? What are you not seeing? As a major to discern. But before you get to C.S. Lewis, let me just ask you on a personal level, how are you given this, you know, what happened to have you have this gift of discernment? How did you become more discerning yourself in terms of the stuff that you're seeing now?
Well, you know, I've readily confessed that, you know, I've been a victim of red, white, and blue fever most of my life. I've been in essence, I hate to put it this way, and I really never have before, but I've been a warmonger from the perspective that I have tolerated the lies that have gotten us into all of these wars. I never recognized how unjust and how unnecessary every one of the wars were. And I was the guy, you know, holding the American flag and saying, you know, let's go get them. Let's go save the world kind of thing, not realizing that we were installing central banks and putting Luciferians in control of governments that were trying to avoid the one world government. You know, we've been out there helping the, you know, it's like the war on drugs. You know, the war on drugs is the reason we need a war on drugs because the people behind the war on drugs are the ones that are distributing them. And I didn't realize a lot of that stuff most of my life, Kate, and just really a few years ago, five years ago, I really became a deep researcher. I really started digging because when I started when your eyes start opening up on this stuff, it's like there's no turning back. You can never close them again. Once you really have been shown the real truth out there about what's going on, people, I don't know anybody whose eyes have been opened that ever turn around and then deny it. Because once you get into it and you see all the facts and how the pieces of the puzzle fit, it becomes undeniable after a while. So then you get to the perspective of really understanding the depth of the evil that's enslaving us, and at that point, you know, your discernment level goes up 10 times. I mean, 20 times. I can't even describe the difference between me today and the way I was 5 or 6 years ago. It's just once you see it, once you get the picture, I don't know any other way to describe it than that.
Let me ask you, you've just been reading Synagogue of Satan. Has that sharpened your discernment regarding all those matters?
Well, it's prompted me to look much
or
deeper
confirmed.
It's beyond that because it's made me really understand some of the things in Scripture. I was aware of what the Synagogue of Satan was before I picked it up, and I, you know, hanging out with Red Beckman for a couple of years will you know, open a person's mind pretty good. That's why we call it walls in our minds. But and Red's really heightened my sense to the Khazars, those that, according like Matthew 23:15 says, like Revelations 2:9 or 3:9 says, those who claim to be Jews but are not. And it's, you know, I probably, you know, you could have even 7 years ago called me a Zionist, but not today, because now I recognize that that's all a fraud. Every bit of that is a fraud, and it's the whole purpose of all of this spiritual battle is to really wipe out Christianity worldwide. I mean, that's really what the Crusades were about. That's what the creation of Islam was. That's what the creation of Mormonism is. You know, you look at all of those, and it's a similar pattern in every case. And the Zionists are a part of that. All of that, the Vatican and the Zionists both are involved in basically wiping out Orthodox Christianity worldwide. That's what the wars have been about. A lot of them. I mean, there's more than that to the wars. They've been about oil. They've been about drugs. They've been about installing central banks. But basically, it's about enslaving people and literally killing people, population control, etc. And when you get that picture, when you realize that Lucifer is behind all of this, all of these people are Luciferians. They don't pray to the same God I do. And did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did.
Because
the
Synagogue of Satan, the book by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, what it does is it goes back to 740 A.D., King Bulan of Khazaria, and it brings you forward in history and really lays out all of the events that are critical to the development of the World Zionist Congress and the One World Order group and what their plans were and how they've accomplished it. And it follows the Rothschild families and the Splinter families off of that. And it brings you forward in such a way that the fact that there is a conspiracy totally becomes undeniable. There's no way anybody can rationally read all of this material and see that the events of history that have happened and look at what their plans were and see how they have, you know, gone about diligently pursuing those plans. You know, there's just no way you can deny the conspiracy anymore. Did you know that the so-called Jews, and I'm going to call them the so-called Jews because they're not really of Israel. That's what Christ was referring to when he was talking about the Pharisees in Matthew 23, where they would go across land and sea to find a proselyte, and they would turn that proselyte into a twofold sons of hell or twice as bad as them. Well, that's exactly what happened in Khazaria. The whole country was converted to Talmudic Kabbalist Judaism, not a race of people, but a religion of people worshiping Lucifer. And that is the vast majority of those called Jews in the world today are Ashkenaz or of Khazaria descent. They are not Sephardic. They are not of Northern Africa or the Middle East or Spain or any of the Mediterranean region. They are not of that group. They're not of that seed. So they're precisely the ones that, I mean, they don't worship the same, they don't pray to the same God I do or you do. So, you know, we need to understand what Israel is today. And I am totally in support of anybody's right to have their own place and nation and the right to defend themselves. But the fact of the matter is that what we call Israel today is controlled by a bunch of Ashkenaz, which are originally a bunch of pagan idol worshipers that have figured out and taken over all of our banking institution and financial institutions and have purchased up all of our major societal structures, education, pulpits. They've infiltrated everything that's out there that has any authority or power, our judiciary system, our government, etc., and they have totally corrupted it for their own selfish purposes. And their goal is basically in this country the same as it has been everywhere else that they've gone, and that is to wipe out Christianity.
And as from what we were talking about in the show earlier, this is one of the tools that is necessary to discern what's going on. When you get these thousands of emails coming over, the email in terms of saying this is going on and that's going on, and some sound terrible and others are suspicious, this is one of the screens, if you will. Now, Terry, we only have 5 minutes left, even a little less. So I wanted, since I threw out C.S. Lewis, I've only read one or two books of C.S. Lewis, but this was one of the study areas. Talk to us about the Screwtape Letters as I go to the library tomorrow and pick up the book.
Okay, I will talk about the Screwtape Letters, but let me add.
And
to
remember,
that,
you should have a few minutes. Go ahead.
You should add the Great Divorce to that, because the Great Divorce, is the title is misleading, people think of it as something to do with divorce, and it really is not, unless you're thinking of the spiritual battle.
Very good. Thank you.
The Screwtape, what it really is about is whether you're headed to heaven or hell. That's what The Great Divorce is about, and it describes a world of people on a bus, and it's phenomenal. It's very similar to the Screwtape letters. The Screwtape letters, you know, they depressed C.S. Lewis when he was writing them, because when you face the reality of the distractions that we have in this world that turn you away from God, and all of those temptations, and how subtle some of them are, how small some of the most effective ones are, it can depress you, because you start looking around the world and seeing how everybody falls victim to this. And so the Screwtape letters is something that you may not be able to read your way right through. You may have to read a little bit of it and put it down for a while and then come back to it, because it will start opening your eyes to all of the different things that are taking you away from God in your life. And you see this happening in society. You see it happening in politics. You see it with the media, and you even see it in your family members, and you see it in your own life. And when you start to recognize how vast it is, and how almost invisible some of it is, it really strikes you to the point of your heart of, you know, it'll trouble you. It will trouble you, because it's an eye opener. It's a huge eye opener. They talk about scales being removed from the eyes. Well, that's what Screwtape letters does for a person. It removes the scales from their eyes so that they can see the truth about what's around them. And the thing about truth around you, what's happening around you, is it's good, bad, and it's indifferent. And we so often close our eyes to what's bad that it somehow puts a concrete lid on what's good. And we shut down. We stop really emoting. We stop enjoying. We stop hurting. We stop feeling. And the Screwtape letters is going to be one of those things that will help you remove your own masks and help remove the masks of those around you.
Excellent.
That's the best description in 3 minutes I can give you.
I think that's fabulous. You know, my dog was growling at somebody out there, so I had to take a look. I thank you for that, and I'm going to leave our audience with that tonight to maybe go take a look at that, and to know that Terry will be joining us next week to discuss discernment. Take a look at those tools. We'll have more references and more concrete examples. I think one of the most important, for example, is Red Beckman's view of what that decision did to remove prayer from school, and that was basically to enact a federal God, no other God but a federal God. So in any case, Terry, look forward to next week, look forward to tomorrow night, Walls in Our Minds. Be sure to join us, 6 to 8 Pacific time. And
Ron Branson will be back on us tomorrow night.
Very good.
Ron has the Jail for Judges website, if somebody wants
Excellent.
To check him out.
Excellent. So that's another thing, our legal system. But could we get caught up in all of that stuff? Let's do some discerning there. So we'll have a lot of practical examples of applying discernment and a very interesting discussion next week. So thanks for joining us this evening. Appreciate it. Have a great evening.
Have a great night, Kate. God bless.
more.